As the sun dips below the horizon and twilight blankets the land, we find ourselves on the eve of Halloween. It's a time when the world holds its breath, caught between the realms of the living and the departed. Shadows grow long and the air grows thick with anticipation, as even nature itself is awaiting the arrival of this enchanting night. On this eve, the veil between our world and the spirit realm is at its thinnest, allowing whispers of the past to echo through the rustling leaves. The ancient stones and gnarled trees seem to hold secrets, as if they witnessed countless Halloweens, each one leaving behind traces of its magic. The air carries the scent of damp earth and fallen leaves, mingled with the distant aroma of hearth fires and pumpkin spice. It's a fragrance that stirs something primal within us, invoking memories of childhood, costumes, candy, and the tales of jack-o'-lanterns. As dust settles, there is a certain electricity in the atmosphere, a palpable sense of wonder and mystery. It's as if the very essence of the night is charged with the promise of unearthly encounters and paranormal entities. But let us not forget the deeper significance of this eve. It's a time to honor those who came before us, to pay respects to the souls that linger in the shadows, watching over us with a silent, paranormal presence. Their stories are woven into the fabric of the night, and their whispers ride the winds, reminding us of our connection to the past. So on the eve of Halloween, let us embrace the magic that surrounds us. Light your lanterns, kindle your fire, and let the enchantment of the night wash over you. For tomorrow, when the moon rises high, we will step into a world where the ordinary transforms into the extraordinary and the mystical becomes mundane. Now on this episode of the Say What Again Billy podcast, join Billy and Nick as they dive into the history of Halloween, from the costumes to the candy to the games played at Halloween parties. The Swab Crew will tell all about Halloween and even some spooky tales. What you should be watching on TV to get you scared and prepped for the United States' most celebrated, unofficial, but treated as an official holiday. This episode of the Say What Again Billy podcast begins now. Happy Halloween Eve, Nicholas.
Happy Halloween Eve, Billy.
So, did you get that nice little jump scare to start the podcast off? I'm going to put it on Instagram. I scared the living shit out of Nick today.
You got, and it was such a delayed reaction, but you got me. And I was like, oh, mother, you know what? And I was like, damn it. You could see it in the video. I say it. I never get caught off guard like that. I was focused on just, because you had texted me that you had saw me pull up. So I was like, all right, I know he's over there. And you got me.
Listen, man, it's Halloween Eve. God, I had to scare him. I was like, he's not paying attention. I'm going to duck behind this van right now. And he walked by and I said, ooga booga.
Yeah, that's it. It was the ooga booga. Ooga booga. Literally.
Big ooga booga. Well, you know what? It tis the season. So I had to scare you. And I wish Joey was here because I would have got him too. But I said from learning from Sleepy Hollow, I was like, if I'm going to scare one of my friends, I got to video it. And I was like, I'm not going to forget this time. So I threw the camera on and I got you. And again, everybody, Joey's not on because he is, I believe the date is November 7th. He's competing out in Jersey for a fitness physique bodybuilding show where I believe he can win his pro card. And he's in phenomenal shape. So everyone at the Swap Podcast is rooting for Joey.
Yeah, it makes me jealous. I mean, but he's driving me to do it even more. Like, I just got a message from my advisor in my app. And he's like, you're proving me wrong because you're losing you're losing more and leaning out more where you're not supposed to be. And I'm like, well, thank you. It's good to see because I don't always see it. And watching Joey's posts, I'm like, man, I got a lot to catch up on.
You know, you guys are motivating me because I've never really been out of shape. I've gained some weight here and there. I've always been in the gym for like the last 20 plus years. And the last few weeks have been real rough. And every time my Friday hits
I go home. I'm going to reset. And I'll do good Tuesday. I'll do good Wednesday. I got my protein up last week to like 60 grams or whatever it was. And I was like, I'm getting better, you know, with the scoops of protein. And then I just hit the less yesterday was just so bad. I got donuts. My wife brought home donuts. My mom bought some baked goods from Costco. So I was like, you know what? Halloween or not tomorrow, I'll have at most one candy bar. And I am going to reset and just try my best, because you guys are putting me to shame. I mean, you guys are in like tip-top shape, counting calories, macros, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Listen, you know what? And this was never me. You know that. You grew up around me. This was a bet over a beer. And I don't like to lose. So obviously I kept going. And I just, at this point, it's not that I don't want to go. I just automatically go. And I'm like, even on days where I'm not super motivated, I get up and I'm like, I want to go. Like this morning, I was on my way out and my son woke up early. So I had to put him back to bed. It was already like 5:30, and I can't go to the gym that late and make it back and work. So I went for my walk, because I do walk as well every day. And I walked through the monsoon. You should have seen what my hoodie looked like. It was like I had just took a dunk in the pool. Afterwards, but now that part's done. So it's going to go work out after this. But, the Halloween thing is cool because, you know, we're parents, right? And we know our kids aren't going to eat all that candy. Number one, number two, mine, especially, like I have one kid, he does not like sweets, but he likes to go out trick or treating and be part of the whole routine. So what happens is one of two things: either I'll bring them to work and give them away, or what I heard, which is, so you feel a little guilt free, not guilt, completely guilt free, but just take one, like you said, a candy bar, right? And have it and take a piece and go, all right, I know I'm having this. I don't feel guilty about it. I just keep breaking it up and you'll be fine. Like you, especially if you plan around it. So
yeah, I'm going to have a candy bar tomorrow, probably Reese's peanut butter. I get the protein in there, but I'm going to reset. But enough of the health and fitness, because now I'm getting depressed and I'm like, I want to go to the gym right now, but I'm so tired. It's my Friday and we are at the eve of Halloween. Which, upon really Googling it, like I've done two Halloween episodes so far, I think, going on 3 years. Or maybe I did one because I started the podcast in 2020 at the end of December before the world went crazy.
Right. I know you did one specifically, and then
it was during COVID.
You did a historical one, which we'll get into like a little bit. We're going to touch on a lot of things that listeners may have heard before, and then I found a couple of things that I did not know and a couple of things that are new. So hopefully that'll bring it up.
So this is like give or take the second episode I've done on Halloween, maybe, you know, second Halloween episode. And I did the story of the jack-o'-lantern, I believe last year. And we touched on it through a couple of episodes. But it's the eve of Halloween, and I found it interesting that there is actually no name for the eve of Halloween. You believe that it's All Hallows Eve is really technically tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And there's no proper name for Halloween Eve, but...
And we'll get into why it's called All Hallows Eve in a minute. But yeah, this is... You know, it's like the joke, when every day gets another day, like you add on, right? So like when we get to Christmas season, it'll be like Christmas Eve, Eve.
Eve.
Right. Now it's Halloween Eve. That's it. That's the name. Halloween Eve. We have trademarked it on the Say What Again, Billy podcast. Nobody else can use it without giving us a quarter every time.
Another thing I was going to say is that last week we were saying, we can't believe Halloween is next week. And now we're the day before Halloween. And I'm like, you know, after Halloween, literally, you go to any store, Walmart, CVS, Duane Reade's, Walgreens, wherever, and you will see all the candy on sale. But
50% off.
Right next to the Halloween candy is going to be the Thanksgiving and Christmas stuff. Christmas stuff will be on the shelves.
Tomorrow? Tomorrow. It's been out for about a month already.
You know, but I mean like full-fledged.
Oh, yeah.
Like full-fledged. You'll see it already. Mariah Carey is about to open up the capsule and start coming out.
That's right.
And you'll be hearing it. And it's... I like Christmas. Unfortunately, this year I got to work again on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But at least, you know, you know, you go into the parties and it's the TV and different flavors come out, the peppermint, from pumpkin spice to peppermint. Mm-hmm. So it's going to happen. So I wouldn't be surprised tomorrow I'm off tomorrow, luckily, but you'll go through the store and you'll see Christmas stuff out already on Halloween Day. And then guaranteed November 1st, you'll see Christmas everything.
100%. You're going to walk in the stores and the music's going to be on tomorrow. Not tomorrow, I'm sorry.
November
Wednesday.
First. Wednesday.
Wednesday, the music will be on. You'll hear it as soon as you walk in the stores. And it'll be on for the next 60 days.
And spooky season will be over. But for the month of November, I do have a nice set of episodes lined up for the month of November. So everybody prepare for that. I got actually a really good one, which is somewhat out of our element. We've never dabbled in an episode like this. So it's pretty good, but I'll describe it on the website this week. I'll update it and you guys can see what it's about. But this episode of Nick's Notes is brought to you by Spotify for Podcasters. If you have a podcast idea and you need a way to get it out there, download Spotify for Podcasters and get started. Nick's Notes, take it away.
And I'd also like to thank the Say What Again Billy podcast for presenting this edition of Nick's Notes. If you're interested in the paranormal, make sure you listen to the Say What Again Billy podcast.
I like that. You're getting good at that. Well, Joey's got to get he's got to get his shit together, man.
You know what? Listen, Joey is hyper focused right now.
He has a head start on you.
He's kicking my ass, making me look bad. I look in the mirror and I'm like, I don't care how big my arm is. I look at Joey and I'm like, God, dude makes me look like nothing.
Joey's gonna be the next model for Dior Sauvage. Johnny Depp is gonna have to step aside.
Well, then Joey's going to have to get into some shenanigans that gets in court and then on Netflix, and then Joey can be
I don't think his wife will poop on his bed.
What about stepping on a bee?
My dog stepped on a bee. Oh, my God.
Sorry. We're getting a little off topic here. Although, never mind. I'm going to keep my opinions to myself, and we're going to take it away with some actual history here. So, the history of Halloween, and I have butchered this name 100 million times, so I apologize. It's written as Samhain, which is a Celtic tradition. It's actually pronounced Samhain.
Samhain.
I mean, I've got the pronunciation as SOW-IN, so Samhain or Samhain. However, you'll probably say it better than me because you've practiced it. This one is tough for me, but it's approximately 2,000 years ago is when this started, right?
Also the name of one of the real Ghostbuster cartoons' most iconic ghost that appeared on Forever Halloween, I believe the episode was titled.
It'd be a while. It's been so long since I've seen that.
And he's actually featured. The DLC dropped a week or two ago if you play Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed, which I do from time to time when I'm in the mood. But Salman is one of the main ghosts in missions that you can trap him in the game.
Oh, good.
And
I like.
I might play it tonight after if we get done early enough just to dabble in it. We'll see.
Maybe I'll be home and I'll play.
They named the big bad ghost for the Halloween episode Salman.
Well, that makes sense, right?
I mean,
at least they, you know, especially because he had oversight over it. Dan Aykroyd had a lot of the supernatural in his family history, so he really did like to keep it as accurate as possible. So I'm sure if he had any say in that, that's why he made that connection for the Halloween episode. His whole family is all about supernatural. In fact, if you watch Ghostbusters, that scene, I think we've talked about this or you've talked about it. That
I think
scene
I did an episode.
In the firehouse when he has that dream and the ghost is like unbuckling his pants. Well, that actually was something he was told that happened to a relative of his, I believe, in real life. So, oddly enough, but again, that family, his family has a big history with it. That's why he was so intent on making that happen. Anyways, 2,000 years ago, Ireland, UK, Northern France, they like to celebrate the end of the year and the beginning of the new year on November 1st. So the end of the year is October 31st. And the reason that's the end of the year is that's when summer is ending. That's when the harvest is over. And this is, you know, this is a harvest. This is people based on harvest and grains and foods. And so when the winter is coming, that's it. We're going to end the year. And so it's that. And it's also celebrating that the day of the ghosts of the dead return, which is October 31st. They say it's the easiest time for the Druids to make predictions about the future, the Druids being the Celtic priests who wore at that time and during that timing wore costumes with animal heads and skins. When the ceremony was over, they would relight their individual hearth fires. Okay, so every family would have their own hearth fire from the sacred flame, from their community sacred flame. Does that sound like anything to you? Do we light anything on? And I'm not talking about a black flame candle. Do we light anything on Halloween? Typically, traditionally?
The pumpkins.
Right.
The jack-o'-lanterns.
Right.
I also heard, I don't know if this is in your notes, if I'm jumping the gun, that they actually at the time used Yule logs. Did you see that?
Yule logs did not come up, but something else Christmas tradition came up, and we'll talk about that in a second.
I read, and I could be wrong, because your notes are more impeccable than my studies, but I did read this for last year, that they actually use Yule logs in this tradition that we're talking about, the tradition of the end of the season, Solomon, however you pronounce it. You know my pronunciations aren't good. But anyways, something to the extent where they would light Yule logs. And they went back the next day on November 1st, I believe, in the morning. Give or take, the calendars were accurate at that time. And if the Yule log was still lit, the winter would be shorter and they would have a less dreadful time of darkness and a better winter. But if the log was burnt out and the fire was done on the Yule log, they would have a very bad winter. Spirits would be running rampant. They'd have to hunker down a little longer and it'd be something to that extent. I could be wrong, but
that wouldn't shock me because, you know, a lot of these traditions all find themselves kind of in the same ballpark, and a lot of them spun out of the original and became, Christian from the pagan traditions. So it wouldn't shock me because I'm sure Yule log was not originally a Christian tradition. I'm sure it came from a pagan tradition. And
The tradition of burning a Yule log is believed to have originated with the ancient Norse and Celtic people. They would select a large, special log, often from an oak tree, and bring it into their homes to burn during solstice celebration. The Yule log represented the rebirth of the sun and the triumph of light over darkness. It was often decorated with greenery, evergreen branches, and sometimes even sprinkled with wine or cider to add to the festive atmosphere. When Christianity spread across Europe, many pagan traditions were incorporated into Christian celebrations. The Yule log found its way into Christmas celebrations, becoming a symbol of light of Christ. In some regions, it was customarily burned from Christmas Eve through 12 days of Christmas. Different regions developed their own variations of the Yule log tradition. In some parts of Europe, it became customary to keep a small piece of the previous year's log to kindle a new one, symbolizing continuity, there you go, and connection with the past. Over time, the Yule log evolved from a literal log to a decorative representation. Many European cultures began to craft intricate wood Yule log-shaped decorations, often adorned with candles or other festive elements. Additionally, the culinary tradition of baking a Yule log-shaped cake, known as the Bouquet de Noël in French, became popular. Today, the Yule log is in its various forms, continue to be part of holiday celebrations in many parts of the world. While the original symbolic meaning may have evolved, it still serves as a reminder of the festive spirit and the importance of light during the darkness time of the year. Now, it kind of alludes to what I said, but let me just see Yule log and Halloween.
I don't know about that while you're looking that up. I know that, you know, we're going to talk about real quick. The Christians adopted a lot because Caesar at the time was pretty smart and the Roman Empire at the time was pretty smart. They needed to kind of mesh the old pagan with the new Christianity, which was on the rise. So they took the big traditions of paganism and they kind of molded them into Christianity. I'm not saying that they're not important. I'm not discounting it. I have faith too. I put on a Yule log on my television because I don't have a fireplace. Every Christmas, I leave it on Christmas Eve. I turn it on when the kids go to bed, and I do not turn it off until everybody is up and we're out in front of the tree in the morning. Why? I don't know. It's just I feel like I need to. And, you know, there are plenty of people who have a real fireplace who light that log and leave it on all night. They obviously put the grill in front of it to make sure it's safety purposes, but they leave it on. And you want to talk about spirits. One of the most famous, and I know we're getting off topic of Halloween. We'll go right back. But spirits is a Halloween thing. Famous Christmas story, Christmas Carol, has all to do with spirits, okay? And Scrooge falls asleep in front of the fireplace with logs burning. Now, they're not necessarily Yule logs because Scrooge was a miser, so they're probably the cheapest wood you could get. But the symbolism is there. So that symbolism kind of does not die, and it's always baked into all these things. So whether or not it's typically Halloween, it's definitely pagan in nature in the beginning, and it was adopted. And so a lot of these traditions that we find ourselves, or I should say Christians find themselves looking at, are taken and molded to fit Christian beliefs, but from pagan practice. Okay. Because Christianity is relatively young when you talk about the big world religions. When you talk about the three major world religions, it's one of the youngest. It is, in fact, the youngest between Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, if those are still the three big religions.
Jewish religion
was the oldest.
Muslim religion came along after that.
They kind of concur. I mean, everything. Oh, these are the Abrahamic traditions, so they go all the way back to Abraham. All three. I don't want to say I'm not an expert, but I think Judaism was first. Then Islam came around the same time, but kind of branched off from that.
3,000.
So Judaism's in the 5600s at this point. So Judaism is then the oldest, then Islam, and then us, because we're the youngest of the three majors. That doesn't mean I'm discounting all the other ones. I know there's plenty of other ones. But of those three majors that come from the Abrahamic, Christianity is the youngest. So a lot of what we have is adopted from the others.
Mm, interesting.
So sorry to get off topic, guys, but let's get back a little bit to the Halloweeniness of what we're talking about here.
You said weenie.
Child. Okay, so easiest time for the Jews to make predictions about the future was, again, during this festival at the end of October, beginning of November. Celts would wear costumes. Here we go, costumes is a tradition that will eventually be adopted. When the ceremony was over, they relit the candles. I said that. Okay, now, I've talked about this before when we were kind of previewing the entire spooky season. The Roman occupation, there were two festivals.
Did you say Roman?
I did.
He changed his name on TikTok, by the way. We'll get into that.
Oh, no.
It's like the chubby, bald history geek or something now.
Oh, no. He's supposed to be the angry Roman.
The angry history geek.
Oh, angry history geek. Well, all right. Well, he's still all about the Romans. Mike, if you're listening, this is for you. So there are two. Feralia and Pomona. These are two festivals that they're celebrating. Now, Feralia is the celebrating of the passing of the dead. So obviously it makes sense. It kind of goes along with, and it's around the same time. Mm-hmm. And then Pomona was the goddess of kind of fruit in Roman myth, and her symbol was the apple. Now, one of the things that I don't see it so much nowadays, but it was a thing when we were growing up. It was still kind of a thing.
Bobbing for apples.
Bobbing for apples. Big tub. Put them in the water and you bob for apples.
Told this story to my coworkers yesterday.
Okay. And did you tell them the history of the bobbing for apples?
Is to find the meat, right?
Good. Yep. We're going to get into that again. I think I mentioned that the last time we talked, but we'll get into that again. And then All Hallows Eve. So here we go. With the rise of Christianity, Halloween, or I should say rather, Samhain was integrated with Christianity. All Saints Day celebrated on November 1st. Now this goes back to Pope, I think it was Pope Pius. I didn't write down which number Pius. But this is, 7th century, about 600s, I think. I could be wrong.
I don't know why Pope Gregory is ringing in a name. I don't know.
Don't quote me. I did not write down specifics, but November 1st is All Saints Day, and it's got a name. So this is tough because it's in Middle English. All Hallow Messe, which meant All Saints Day. It's just what it meant. Now, All Hallow Messe eventually became the night before that, because that's November 1st. The night before that became...
I was right.
Was Pope Gregory?
Pope Gregory the Third in the 8th century.
8th century, so 700s. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I was a little off. I apologize. But All Hallow Messe meant All Saints Day, which was November 1st. And then, of course, there's the day before, which would be the eve of All Hallow Messe, which became shortened to All Hallows Eve, which we became Halloween. Eventually, when it was anglicized and Americanized, not Americanized so much, anglicized, really, when the English took the name and ran with it, it became Halloween. You took All Hallows Eve and it became
Talking about
Halloween.
The Anglo-Saxons?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're at the name Halloween. Let's talk about when it comes to America. It's originally limited America, high Protestant population here, and what unfortunately, for your English listeners, and I know you have some English listeners.
I actually have quite a few United Kingdom people.
And do you know that they really don't celebrate Halloween?
Really?
Really, they did. I watched an interview with an English actor once, and I'm like, get out of here. It's like Tom Holland or something like that. He's like, no, we didn't have Halloween as kids. I'm like, get out of here. Shut the F up. Like, there's no way that's true. Like, every kid knows what Halloween is, me being the dumb American, assuming that everybody celebrates Halloween. And no. They don't.
Halloween's not even an official holiday.
No, it's not.
It's just so celebrated.
Here.
That's why if you listen to the monologue, it's like the United States' most celebrated holiday, but it's unofficially a holiday.
Yeah, it's not a real, I shouldn't say it's not a real holiday. It's not an official, like, federal holiday. So it's originally, because we have a high population in the New England colonies of Protestants, it's not very popular. It's very limited to, and it's limited to play parties where they do ghost stories. They kind of do some fortune telling, not really, and mostly tales of the dead. That's it. That's Halloween in America, you know, in the beginning. Then around the mid 19th century, we get a lot of the Irish come over. Okay. You know, they're escaping the potato famine. They're bringing a lot of themselves over because they're trying to get away and they're trying to get food and trying to come here. And which is amazing, because when we talked about colonists here before, we always talk about how they don't bring enough food, but these guys have been here. Now we're talking about the mid 19th century. So they've been here for about 200 years more. And I'm sure at this point they know how to grow at least something. And they come here, the Irish, they bring a lot of their tradition with them. And so when they come back and the influx of these Irish immigrants in the 19th century, greater interest and prevalence of Halloween starts to pop up again. Now, because we're spacing out from Protestants, we're spacing more to Catholicism, because the Irish are Catholics. At this point, most of them are Catholics. So that's when Halloween starts to become prevalent in the United States, or rather in America, around the 1850s. So, history-wise, I mean, I'll go into, you know, a little bit about the history in the United States and around the world in a second, and it's kind of going to jump to the 1900s, but you give me a minute. I would like to, actually, you know what, mess with it. I'll go right there. So, late 1800s, which is around the 1850s, 1800s, that's when it starts getting predominant. We kind of, in this country, we still got a lot of Protestants here, so we switched from the witchcraft and the supernatural, spooky version of Halloween more to the community version of Halloween. Now it's more of a community holiday, like get-togethers and grow your community and spend time with each other, remember the dead and blah, 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 but get away from the superstition. So that's when you lose most of the religiousness. 1920s to the 30s. So it takes a time jump here. We're talking about, you know, about, let's say if this was 1880s, about 50 years later, 40, 50 years later, they start to see a rise in vandalism during the...
This is Great Depression time too now, right?
Right. So, you know, people got no money. They got nothing to do. And you got kids, and kids are traditionally, I mean, older kids and younger adults, they've got nothing to do and they've got no jobs to go to. So what are they going to do? Just wander and loiter and move around. And so this becomes kind of a vandalism problem. So as they're going and they're trying to figure out how to, you know, knock this vandalism thing, by the, you know, in the 1920s to the 1950s, you see the revival of trick-or-treating. And we'll talk about the traditions in a second. I skipped around to this because, you know, this is probably better to go this way. But the revival of the trick-or-treating is kind of the cheap way to stop vandalism. I give you candy, you don't egg my house. I give you candy, you don't graffiti at the time, or whatever kind of graffiti it is. Obviously not spray paint, right? But, you know.
Taking things out of people's yards and placing them God knows where.
Right. Well, there's the tricking, right? So you give them treats and they stop. So, by the way, that revival in the 1920s to the 1950s, which was their way to just stop vandalism, has grown, as you said, in the United States to a $6 billion, with a B, dollar industry. That is why Halloween is so celebrated. They make roughly $6 billion a year, the candy companies, on candy sales around this time of year.
I would love to have a share or be a owner of, like, Hershey.
Or Mars, right, where they make all the M&Ms and stuff.
Because, like, the amount of chocolate that they sell from now to February is enough to cover you for the down months.
Right. This is from, let's say, from September 15th through October 30th, because you're really not buying candy on October 31st. You're not getting much. Whatever's left is left.
Oh, I would go to the store on November 1st.
Yeah, well,
and stack up for my work fridge.
Right. That's different. I mean, but you're getting what's left over. You're not getting necessarily what you want to grab. It's just whatever they still have.
You get, like, milk duds.
Right.
Or some lame-ass candy.
So then, of course, the second one is February, when you sell all the
Whoppers.
Chocolates.
Yeah. God damn, that's a terrible one.
Listen, you know, I really haven't had candy in a while.
That's showing my age, because people listening, like, what the hell's a Whopper? It's a terrible.
We're not talking about Burger King either.
Yes, so
it's a chocolate covered, like, ball, malt. And it's not,
a malt ball.
It's not
good. I don't even know what malt is.
It's just not good.
It's not really
my opinion.
I liked it for, like,
candy corn might be high up. Candy corn is my number one not favorite Halloween candy. But
disgusting.
Yeah, I don't know. People like them. I don't. But
candy corn's not really Halloween thing. I think it's more for Thanksgiving.
I know, but it's just become whatever. I just see it like you used to see it in like the Halloween goodie bags that people would give out. There'd be like candy corn in
candy
there.
Candy corn to me is the Starbucks of candy.
Or black licorice. A lot of people don't like black licorice. See, like I can have the chocolate licorice, but not the black licorice. The chocolate licorice is a little different.
I can't have licorice, period. It's just, I don't like it. I never liked Twizzlers.
See, I don't like Red Vines, but let's not digress. 1950s, like I said, 1920s, 50s, they're growing the, I know we keep getting off topic, folks, but you know what? A lot of this is fun
for
us.
It's all part of the Halloween episode, man. That's all intertwined. Even when we got onto the Christmas talk.
Christmas is
during the time where these Celts were hunkering down.
Right.
And telling ghost stories. And people don't realize, which I'm sure we'll have an awesome Christmas episode with Nick's notes.
Oh, Christmas, I can't wait. Christmas is my season.
Yes.
This is your season.
Nick used to dress up as Santa Claus religiously every year. I'm sure he still does. You don't have to wait to him no more to do it. So he has to actually buy
last year I was you should have seen fat suit. I was Buddy the Elf last year.
But I'm just saying this, it all correlates because it's the season of winter. It literally starts in this tradition tomorrow.
Right.
And goes into Christmas into the...
Well, because the spirits were the veil was thin.
The veil is the thinnest.
So the spirits are around.
Tonight at midnight.
Yep. So, 1950s, that's when they removed the vandalism. And this becomes mostly aimed at younger kids. This is why it's interesting. Because when you say like you're waiting for trick-or-treaters, you're not talking about teenagers. You're not talking about young adults. Like... At a certain point, a lot of people be like, no, I'm cutting you off because like you're too old to be trick-or-treating or you're too old to be out. Like, and if you see kids that age coming around, you don't even want – you turn your light off. You're like, no, I don't want to be bothered because I think that they're going to egg my house.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
You no, but like –
I haven't seen the egging thing in a long time.
When we were growing up, like, you know that I knew a lot of adults on the block would turn their lights off after like 8, 9 o'clock because most of the little kids were already home.
Quick story, and it's not off topic. Me and Mike, the bald, chubby history geek that he's known as now on TikTok, used to formerly known as the angry history geek. Me, I had a Mario costume.
Oh, God.
And I got it, put it together. I bought red Dickie pants, suspenders.
He said Dickie.
You know, the whole nine. Mario had, this is before Mario was like, you see costumes now in Spirits Halloween, right? So I ended up having a green shirt and a green hat and somehow pieced together the rest of the costume for DeLuna to be, Mike to be Luigi. And we used my mom's eyeliner to put the mustache on us. We walked in our neighborhood from Morris Park to my grandma's to show her the costume. And then we ended up walking to Joe Valentino, who is the person that does the music for the Say What Again Billy podcast. And Joe, I have to put you on the website. I'm just having some technical difficulties adding another pieced it up that part. I told him that already.
And did you tell him about the
yes, we have to get that. I throw it in there. Anyways, long story short, we're walking to Joey's house, me as Mario and Mike as Luigi, and this car passes down the block rolling, and Mike turns around and goes in his Italian, what are these douchebags going slow for? And out of a car window, phew, if I could insert the Mario Man sound effect, like the when he spits the fire out of his hand,
no,
an egg shoots past our ears, and he goes, "Holy shit, we're getting egged!" And we duck down as eggs are just getting. It's like they had a machine gun full of eggs, and they're just launching eggs at us. And me and Mike are just sitting behind the car as we're getting shot at, and there's just eggs flying. And these fucking guys are throwing eggs at us. And then we run down the block to Joey's house and like we're pounding on the door like, open up, we're getting eggs. And we got into Joey's house and that's where we stayed for the rest of the night, dressed as Mario and Luigi. Mm. Fun times.
Sounds pretty fun.
Almost as fun as the day that we all dressed up as Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, that was great.
Characters and tried to do a scene in Mike and Joey's empty house.
Yeah.
Not Joey Aiello, Joey Valentino.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, man.
And I have pictures still of that. You were
Giles. I think I ended up, or Wesley. I wanted to be Wesley, but
was Wesley.
Yeah, I ended up being more like Giles, and then
I was Angel.
Danielle was like a switch between Joey, Buffy and Faith.
Joey was Xander.
Yeah, it was great. It was great times.
Good times.
It was good times. There's, you know, you don't
Halloween, man. Halloween.
I mean, these shows, there's not really a lot of genre shows on television anymore. Like, I mean, I'm sure you could find them, but it's more reality based than everything nowadays, and plus all the strikes. But like, there's no Supernatural, there's no Buffy, there's no Angel, there's no, not even Grimm. Grimm was fun to watch because that was, you know, it was genre based. It was a procedural, it was a cop show, but you had all the cool stuff. There's not a lot of that on television.
No. It's very hard.
It doesn't last very long. I'll put on Doctor Who, maybe.
I'll put on an episode of Buffy or Supernatural, and I'll watch it, and you could see the difference in just 15, 20 years of
graphics.
The graphics.
The audio. Vampires on Buffy now, I watch them, I'm like, wow, it's terrible.
Yeah. It's kind of actually like almost hard to watch, but then the nostalgia kicks in, and you'll watch it.
And I could tell you, I was just reading an article, and they were like top, you know, scariest television episodes, and I've talked to you off air about which one scares me, and I will watch all 15 seasons of Supernatural except this one episode in the first season. It scares me. I won't say the name. Don't do it. Don't say the name. Just don't go look in the mirror and say a name three times. They say that's one of the scariest television episodes ever.
That show won me over because they use so much of the
legitimate
of the folklore. Lore of the paranormal, the folklore. And the first few episodes, I was like, dude, I'm sold. And I remember watching, I think it was on Thursday nights on CW at the time. And my mom put me onto the show. And I remember watching it religiously with her.
Listen, that was all you're doing. You got me to watch.
The Lady in White, Blank Mary.
Thank you.
There's an episode that was so well done. I know it's a little off track now, but it was so well done. And it was something about a werewolf. And Sam ended up really liking this girl. And it was one of the best episodes of Supernatural that it could have won. He could have won.
Jensen Ackles should have won an Emmy for that performance.
I don't think he wasn't really the main character of it.
No, Sam was. But
Sam was in love with this girl.
Jared or Jensen, because there's the one scene, right? And it's such an emotional scene.
Dean had to kill her.
No, Sam killed
Sam
her.
Did. But he's like, you got to do it.
Jensen, he knows it's happening. And you could see he has one tear roll down his eye and like he flinches. And the character at that point never flinched, never showed emotion other than comedy or anger. And you could just see it in his face drop.
I knew what his brother had to do. I believe it was season 4, and I might have to go to Netflix and give it a watch.
I think it's season 2. I think it's a girl in like Chicago or something.
Sam is in love with this girl. Yep. He's feeling for her and she's a werewolf and she had gotten bit and she was changing. And Dean was like, yo, you gotta kill her.
Yep.
Because she's not going to, you know. And it was that was a very, very good episode.
Yeah. So, Jared and Jensen.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to flow. It's going to look season 2 or season 4. I think it's season 4. Because I have this weird freaking memory. Like, I remember things that I shouldn't remember.
I think it's season 2, episode 4. That's what I think.
Well, we'll look after the episode.
So, over. But Jared and Jensen, that I know you're listening to this. We're huge fans. Okay. So if you ever want to pop in, we're more than happy to have you come in and tell us all the things that we're doing wrong.
Right. But take it back to the Knicks notes. Cause I got a little, I don't know if Dia de los Muertos is on there, but
it is.
I'll get there. Cause that's a
so
very
that's
big
traditions
day.
Around the world. And I do get to that. Speaking of traditions, let's pop into traditions. So some traditions that we have, here and mostly in celebratory of Halloween, you have trick or treating. Now, this is modeled, actually, which is oddly enough, even though the British don't really celebrate it anymore, this is modeled after the British. This was something new I did not know. British practice of allowing the poor to beg for food. And these things that they would beg for would be called soul cakes. That was their name, soul cakes. And now either you gave these poor beggars soul cakes or they would pull tricks on you. So this is where trick-or-treating finds its origins, modeled on that. Then there's bobbing for apples, which I told you is from the Roman festival of Pomona. It's originally an early model of, let's say, spin the bottle. Okay. It's the best way to, you know, like for somebody to kind of understand it or, like a 7 minutes in heaven kind of thing.
Long story short, they'd mark a fruit in a
barrel. All the women would mark
with
a fruit.
Water in it.
And individual men would come up and bob. And whatever one they pulled, that was supposed to be their future wife.
Right.
So, then there's jack-o'-lanterns, which I'll let you talk about that, you know, because you've talked about it before. But
I would say to refer back to last year's episode with Stingy Jack. I told this story of Stingy Jack. There's a couple of different variations of it. Long story short, he tricks the devil. He's not liked by townspeople. He doesn't tip the bartenders. He is not liked. He steals. He does all this stuff. And he tricks the devil to basically
twice.
And the devil's like, you know what? When he dies, finally, the devil's like, dude, you tricked me. You're not coming to hell.
And God, you're not getting to heaven.
God didn't allow him to go to heaven. So he, the devil actually was like, you know what? I kind of feel bad for you. I'm going to make this light for you. And you're gonna, your spirit's going to forever roam the plains of earth as a spirit. And this light was basically looked like, you know, like a jack-o'-lantern. It wasn't, they didn't really say that it was in a pumpkin. It was just a light.
Which is interesting about, you say about pumpkins. So this is the only other thing I'll add to it.
People put this light into a pumpkin after carving it and call it a jack-o'-lantern, which is basically derived from the story of Stingy Jack.
Speaking of, it's a PSA for everybody listening. I do terrible dad jokes, and this one was from my son. How do you fix a broken jack-o'-lantern?
No idea.
With a pumpkin patch.
That's a good one. Dad joke 101.
Sorry, I had to. It was just appropriate. So originally, though, did you know that these were not pumpkins that we would carve as into jack-o'-lanterns? Originally, they were turnips. Believe it or not, this is some of the research that popped up. They were originally turnips, which is, turnips are not that big. So I find it, you know.
And they're white.
Yeah, so I find it kind of difficult. I mean, but they look more like, because of how they're formed and like the shrinking that goes on, kind of looks almost like it's, you know, more of a human-y face. So that might be why, you know, we go back to that Stingy Jack and the human face, like that drawn, gaunt face, because he's dead, but, you know, he can't leave. So I feel like that might be why they were turnips and not pumpkins, and eventually became pumpkins, you know, more again, kind of like kiddie-ish to go towards the child version of things. Okay, so now that's here. Now we have around the world. And we'll talk about that in a second, right? So, you know, you have Halloween around the world, and you have your favorite one to say. I know you love saying it, so I'll let you say it.
Dia de los Muertos.
He just loves to say that. I'm going to let him say it again.
Dia de los Muertos. Really, it is just, it's the one Spanish word that I will pronounce just effortlessly.
He just loves it. So, you know, it's actually a three-day celebration versus our one day. It's a three-day celebration. It does start on October 31st, which is Halloween. And it's to honor the dead. So some families will construct altars. And on these altars, they will put flowers. They will put favorite things of their family members. Specifically, one thing that popped up, though, is that they will use candles to guide the spirits of their family members back on this night. So again, here we are lighting a flame to guide the dead to where they should be. In this case, we're actually, you know, we're calling the dead to us versus, you know, trying to avoid them as the Celts did with their masks, or, you know, we did with our early traditions of hiding behind the masks to avoid the spirits that were walking in Dia de los Muertos.
No one knew who I was until I put on the mask.
Yes, Bane. And in this, they're actually bringing the families in. So it's kind of a flip, but it is still about lighting a candle. Again, you will see a lot of these traditions will be very similar. You know, so there's that. I'm going to skip the next one. I'm going to go right to Ireland first. And in Ireland, you know, you do still have trick-or-treating. You have bobbing for apples. They have another one where they tie an apple to a string and they, like, put it at the top of the door and everybody takes turns trying to bite this apple as it's, you know, they, like, you almost like there's a ball, this game in little kid recess, right? Where you hit the ball and like it goes back and forth on the pole. We never had it, but I know a lot of people play that game in elementary schools. And so the apple goes back and forth and you're trying to grab it. And the first person who grabs it wins. They have treasure hunts. And at the end of the treasure is really like just candy and treats and stuff. They also have, oddly enough, and this is why I told you it was another Christmas tradition. What do you make at Christmas? What do you bake?
Gingerbread man.
And what's the thing that nobody eats but everybody makes around Christmas time?
Chestnuts. I don't eat chestnuts.
Fruitcake, right? Everybody, you ever hear about fruitcake made at Christmas? They make these fruitcakes and they bring them and they're like, oh, great, fruitcake. And it's like, it's a big thing that comes out around Christmas time. And oddly enough, in Ireland, they have this thing called Barn Brock. I think that's how it's pronounced. And it's a fruitcake. But at the center of the fruitcake is a treat that tells your fortune. So that's still going back to the Celtic tradition of fortune telling.
Never was a fruitcake guy. No pun intended.
Well, So I thought it's interesting. Sorry to stop for a second. You caught me on that one. And I thought it was interesting.
No, but seriously, like in my family tradition, never once saw a fruitcake on the table ever for Christmas. There was chestnuts. I never liked them, never ate them. I tried it maybe once or twice, and I was like, not for me. There's that. We did buy cakes that were shaped like a Yule log. My aunt, big on dessert. She'd always bring that. Yeah.
You know what's odd? I've never had, and I'm going to try it this year, I think. Eggnog.
I don't know. I bought it in a store once, and it's like, you know, non-alcoholic eggnog, and it tasted all right. But drinks don't do it for me. I'll have Coquito. Big Coquito season's coming. To my mi gente out there. ¿Cómo estás, mi gente? Oye, ¿qué lo que?
This has now become a bilingual podcast.
¿Qué lo que, mi gente? Coquito, dame coquito. ¿Cuánto? I listen, man, I get my Spanish on. Listen, anyways, no, I Coquito season's coming. As far as eggnog, we buy it at like Trader Joe's or like Stu Leonard's. I'll have a sip of it. I'm not into the whole big drinking thing. When it comes to a holiday, I love to eat.
Right, food.
My Italian tradition for us, we get turkey. We have ham every holiday.
Oh, that's my
turkey for Thanksgiving, lasagna, a ham. Christmas, it's always a ham. Yep. It's always lasagna.
Yep.
As far as the drinking stuff, I'll have a sip of Coquito. Yep. Eggnog, you know, it's...
See, we do, we'll go back to Halloween, but we do a lot of what you just said for Christmas too, but, you know, throw ravioli in there, throw like... You will make rolls and stuff, like a lot of rolls and corn. And we'll have a lot of food on. We'll have way more food than we can probably eat on the holidays. That's for me. Like, alcohol was really never big either. So I've never had eggnog.
It's all right.
Sorry that got off topic.
It's tasty.
It's because we were talking about the Yule log, or rather the fruitcake.
Christmas and Halloween.
There's a lot of traditions that go hand in hand.
They're very hand in hand. Yep. It's pretty crazy. But people don't realize that.
No, they don't. And, you know, you don't realize until you start looking into it. And then one more thing that happened in Ireland, that we have a tradition here. It's a prank. And this is a trick again. It's called knock-a-dolly. Okay?
Ding-dong-ditch?
That's ding-dong-ditch. That's mm-hmm. what it is. It's ding-dong-ditch. They knock on a door. As soon as somebody open it, they'd be gone. So it's ding-dong-ditch here. It's called knock-a-dolly there. I mean, it's only really done. I mean, I'm sure they do it. Some kids are jerks and do it whenever, but it's really only done around Halloween time in Ireland. So now that's Ireland.
The Ring doorbell single-handedly did away with ding-dong-ditch.
Yeah, I know, right? But they will pay you for alien sightings on the Ring doorbell.
$1 million.
So last but not least, we'll talk about England. I told you that they don't really celebrate Halloween. They don't. They haven't really since the Protestant Reformation. Which is a while ago, so the 1600s, okay? Now, they do celebrate something called Guy Fawkes Day, which is November 5th, and it's to celebrate the...
If you say that really fast a couple of times, you're going to say something bad.
That's why I'm saying Guy Fawkes Day, okay? So he was a traitor to England, and he commemorates the
Did you ever hear about the Falkland Islands?
That's right.
Professor, there's islands over here. There's islands over there. You tell me about the Falkland Islands. That was a great. That makes me laugh every time I hear that. But proceed.
There are a lot of great jokes like that. They do. It's great Abbott and Costello like humor, which is lost nowadays. But on Guy Fawkes Day, you want me to say it faster? I don't know if I can say it any faster than that. Guy Fawkes, they have bonfires. Which again, here we go, lighting big fires. Right? They have fireworks, so we're shooting off stars. They wear masks. Now, it's Guy Fawkes masks. It's specifically the mask that he wore. If you've ever seen the movie V for Vendetta, that mask that they wear in that, that's the Guy Fawkes mask. This commemorate, again, his death on 11-5, so November 5th, 1606. So they celebrate on November 5th. Now, the only thing that's kind of Halloween-y about it, other than, again, the bonfires, is they do a thing called they ask for a penny for the guy, and that's like trick-or-treating. They don't really do trick-or-treating, but on Guy Fawkes Day, they'll walk around and ask for a penny for the guy. So that's like, say, you know, give me candy.
Is that also where penny for your thoughts comes from?
That might be. It might be penny for your thoughts. It might be. I actually didn't research that phrase, but that might be.
Sometimes I'm smart, Nick.
Sometimes. One more thing, and then I'll be kind of down to the end of my next notes is just a couple of like miscellaneous traditions. Black cats, ghosts, and some superstitions. Black cats were associated a lot with witches. Witches would turn themselves into black cats. They would escape from persecution through becoming black cats. So now black cats, Halloween, witches are very much associated with Halloween and with this thinning of the veil. So you have the black cats became traditional. Ghosts, when Halloween was first a thing, were very kind of more friendly. They were familial spirits. They were from the family. And for the most part, the ghosts were not what were, you know, you were worried about. You were worried about the fae folk, you know, the fairies. You were worried about the demons. You were worried about all those kinds of things. That's why they wore the masks. Not for the ghosts, because, again, those were family members or dead relatives that had come back and you were celebrating them. But now it's more when we talk about ghosts in Halloween tradition, we talk about the malevolent version of ghosts, all right? The ones that do the hauntings and that we see that we've been talking about all spooky season. And this one's for Joey. Never heard this before in my life. This is new to me. Do you know why we don't walk under a ladder? This is a superstition that I read about while I was doing some research here. There's superstitions like don't step on a crack and don't break mirrors, especially around Halloween because it's even worse luck. But you know why we don't walk under a ladder?
You know, I did that episode in season one about superstitions and curses, and this one was there, and I don't know why. I can't remember.
So they think that this is attributed to ancient Egypt. So this is why I'm saying it's for Joey.
When they were...
Because triangles were a sacred symbol, and so you could not break a triangle. Now, if you look at a ladder from the angle, it's a triangle. So you can't break it by entering it. That's why we don't walk under ladders, according to that. I mean, you know, there's also the, if you walk under a ladder, something could fall on you. You could knock somebody over. That's the practical sense. But if you want to go back to where that superstition might have been born of, why it's so, like, ingrained in us, all the way back to ancient Egypt.
I know, speaking of Joey, who we miss so dearly, seeing his pretty face, that he's so going to be so happy when he comes back from his competition in November that spooky season's over and we can get back into conspiracies and things like that. I know he's going to be happy about it. Matter of fact, I need him for one of the episodes that I have planned out for November because he's going to be the person that's going to be like, I'm not buying it. Or he may or may not be, but definitely we're going to welcome him back with open arms. But just saying, just putting it out there.
Yeah.
So does that conclude Nick's notes?
That does conclude Nick's notes. I wanted to leave it off on a Joey reference.
Joey reference.
On a Joey reference. I mean, I tried to hit some big ones here. I hit the Mike reference. I hit the Joey reference. And I gave you the mic for... Stingy Jack. So I referenced all of you guys in this
edition of Nick's Notes. That was a very good segment of Nick's Notes. And we're going to take a momentary pause. And we're going to come back for some what you should be watching tonight when this episode drops, hopefully early, and some scary stories and favorite candies and non-favorite candies. We'll get back into that real quick and then we'll end the episode. But for now, a momentary pause. And we're back from our momentary pause, our potty break, as we would like to put it.
That's right. That's a nice way to put it.
So we have touched on the history with your impeccable Nick's notes of Halloween, which some of the stuff dabbled into Christmas, and it's got a big correlation there.
Yeah, I mean, you again, this is pagan to Christian. There's always going to be a lot of things that kind of carry over.
So, Nick, what is your go-to Halloween movie? If you had to pick one to watch tonight, you go home. And you got to pick one movie to watch.
You put me on a spot here right now. My go-to Halloween movie. I mean, the other day, it's funny, I got asked this. I can watch it whenever. Ghostbusters just seems to be like, you know, right. I always love to watch it around Halloween. But my go-to Halloween movie, I'm going to sound so basic right now. I really am. Actually, you know what? No, I take it back. I'm not going to sound basic because everybody says Hocus Pocus. That's from our age group. I'm going to say Halloween Town, the first one.
See, I got to say, I'm be basic. I absolutely love Hocus Pocus. As a kid, sick crush on Sarah Jessica Parker. There you go.
Ferris Bueller beat you to her. So
it will always be my favorite movie for Halloween. It's just everything about that movie. I have to watch it once. I watched it once, only once this year, with my family. Hocus Pocus. As far as this year, very disappointed with Discovery Plus. Last year they did, this Spooktober, it was called, whatever it was.
They had 12 Days of Halloween or something like that.
They had a couple of Halloween specials, Robert the Doll, and this year it was very bland. I watched the Jack Osbourne Halloween show. It was specifically for Halloween. Last episode was last night. He did two episodes where he went to haunted locations with his sister. His sister has apparently got some abilities.
Okay.
I don't know.
The Osborne kid, like Chip, like Ozzy Osborne's daughter?
Yes. Chip Toffee, he's a psychic medium, was on a couple of episodes. I believe I said his name right. But a little depressed and upset that there wasn't more on Discovery Plus. And my favorite paranormal show, Paranormal Caught on Camera, which this year was, this season was a little, I was a lot of CGI I saw this year. And usually that show is a lot of good stuff and clips that sent in, but not good. But as far as like paranormal shows, I refer to Discovery Plus and wasn't that good this year. At all, I was depressed with the amount of content that was on there at a really crucial time. I feel not just the person who created this podcast, I feel that for spooky season, we gave everyone that's infatuated with Halloween a really good month of paranormal content.
Yeah, I think we've been kind of, from you know, not to toot our own horns here, but I think we've been kind of killing it we've been talking about.
Sleepy Hollow, an interview with a psychic medium. We did
the Bagans house.
The Zach Bagans house. We had someone come on that experienced something there.
The Whaley house.
We had the Death House.
The House of Death, right.
And I mean, we had Ralph Sarchi, who is... Eric Bana portrayed him in the movie Deliver Us From
Evil. They've gotten like 6 to 7 weeks of... listeners, if you're listening, Billy put a lot of work into this, where you got like 6, 7, 8 weeks, including like our pre-work up into this, and tonight's kind of little bit.
First season, because season four is a long season, but the first season I actually reached out to a lot of people. And Ralph Sarchi, Joanne DeJesu, Julia from Horse Feathers.
Don't forget the drop-in episode that we did with Joe Constantino.
I wasn't going to forget him. And having Anthony come on,
yep,
from his experience in Zach Bagans' museum, which is a new season, just is out this week. Okay. He's got some new stuff in that museum.
Okay.
Did a lot of work to try to give everybody some really good
Ashley content. Coming on with the Whaley House.
Ashley, I mean, her experience 3 times at the Whaley House.
That's crazy.
So I reached out to a lot of people.
We had a lot of guests, whether it was by phone or in person. It was really good. I mean, it was fun for me, especially from the notes perspective, right? Because I get to play off.
And you are officially on board with us now. It's like official tissue. So you came on at the right time.
Perfect, because it was so fun for me to play off of them. In that, like, you know, I come with my notes, and what you can't see is because we don't film this.
Working on that.
And, well, we're getting there. We will get there. I promise you that. And,
we've got some content on YouTube when we go to locations. I'm also working on going to a location. Joey's not going to be thrilled about it, but...
Well, we'll just give him some Xanax. You didn't hear me say that.
He's not going to be thrilled about it, but, you know, we're going to have eventually have a podcast episode filmed at a location that's supposed to be haunted.
I mean, we could always put him in the Bronze Lady's lap.
And you're going to be, I'm not going to say it on air, you're going to be surprised to where this is. And it's fairly close. Oh, and we might have a few hours in there.
That'd be nice.
So I'm working on that. I'm trying to get it done.
That's a preview for all you folks.
I'll tell you off air what it is. I can't say it on air yet. I don't even know if 100% going to be allowed yet. But if it does go through, it's going to be fun.
This should be interesting.
It's going to be fun.
Nice. So go ahead, Billy.
But anyways, I wanted to just tell a quick scary story. Because, you know, it is the spooky season.
And it's the last one we're going to get before next year.
And then I will tell everybody to refer back to the swabpodcast.com webpage, which you'll have the November lineup of upcoming episodes.
That website, by the way, is where you get to see Joey's pretty face and Billy's pretty face. And then don't go to the third picture if you don't want your computer
screen. My bags under my eyes are so bad for so many years. There's no amount of sleep that gets rid of them. It's definitely hereditary. That's why in that picture I have sunglasses on. But anyways, the Phantom of Raven's Hollow, an alleged true story. And it's for Halloween. And then you'll hear the story, talk about our favorite candies, and we'll let you guys enjoy the eve of Halloween. In a quaint village nestled at the edge of a dense forest lies an old estate known as Raven's Hollow. The tale begins in the late 1800s when a wealthy family, the Harringtons, resided there. On a particularly stormy Halloween night, tragedy struck. Young Sarah Harrington, dressed as a spectral figure for the holiday festivities, ventured into the woods to play and prank her older brother. As the storm raged on, Sarah lost her way in the darkness, and her cries for help were swallowed by the howling winds. Weeks passed. Despite exhaustive search efforts, Sarah was never found. The Harringtons were devastated, and the village mourned the loss of the beloved girl. Over the years, strange occurrences began to plague Raven's Hollow. Villagers reported seeing a figure in a white dress wandering the estate, always on Halloween night. Some even claimed to have heard the faint cries of a child carried by the winds. In the early 1900s, a paranormal investigator named Samuel Blackwood decided to delve into the mystery. Armed with his equipment, he spent a fateful Halloween night at Raven's Hollow. As the clock struck midnight, he heard footsteps echoing through the empty halls. Then, in the dim light of his lantern, Samuel saw her, a young girl, in a tattered white dress, her face pale and her eyes filled with sorrow. It was Sarah Harrington. She looked at him with a mixture of longing and despair before vanishing into the thin air. Samuel was forever changed by the encounter, and he spent the rest of his life researching the paranormal. He concluded that Sarah's spirit was bound to Raven's Hollow, forever reliving the tragic Halloween night. To this day, villagers claim that on Halloween night, if you listen carefully, you might hear the faint cries of a lost child carried on the wind from the direction of Raven's Hollow. And if you're brave enough to venture there, you might just catch a glimpse of the phantom of Sarah Harrington, forever searching for her way back home.
Sammy, we got work to do.
Get the salts. Get the salt, Sam.
That's interesting.
And I've heard of the Raven's Hollow.
See, what I liked about that...
that was, I read it impeccably?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, he was practicing his monologue voice there, folks. No, what I really liked was there's a couple elements. I mean, you know, I make fun of the Sammy thing, but like, you heard...
Women in white.
Right, women in white. That's what I heard. I heard the woman, the child
and
that's
And it goes
lost.
Back to what I said to you, I think, last week, that it doesn't necessarily mean all the time, as we think with La Llorona... That it's a woman that did something to her kids. It's something tragic that happens
right.
to the woman.
Right.
Did you know, little tidbit for, because it's, you know, the eve of Halloween.
Halloween Eve.
And I've said this
All before. Hallows Eve. Yes. Trademark.
Trademark.
SWAP podcast.
I've also said this on an earlier episode when I was talking about types of hauntings. And what people don't realize, and I'm going to refresh people's memories if they've listened this long into this episode, is that there's different types of hauntings. Residual, right? That's one of them. That's a big one. An intelligent haunting, which is a ghost or spirit that's doing things to physically get your attention intelligently in the haunt of a house or some place. Poltergeist activity, okay, there's another one. It's demonic activity. It's self-explanatory. But poltergeist activity actually spawns from usually a female young adolescence. And it's usually around the time when they're going through bodily changes.
I remember you saying this in an
the
episode.
The stress factor of changing, which you will never have to deal with, fortunately for you. Me, yeah. On the other hand, that's going to be where my wife takes the wheel. But when they go through these changes, it is almost to most... maybe not most, but some young girls, it's traumatic to see what's going on. And you feel the changes. You're, you know, as a teenager growing up, I remember feeling like all sorts of weirdness growing up. Like, I like this girl, but she don't like me. Like, you know, going through swings of moods. Obviously for women, it's a lot different. So when a young girl is going through these changes, it does things in the brain. And Joey talks about the brain playing significant playing significant situation when it comes to paranormal activity, that maybe your brain is just tricking you to see certain things and do certain things. And we're tapping into energy that we don't know we can tap into. And when a young girl is changing, they may have the ability to tap into certain things. Hence why weird things happen in poltergeist activity, such as things moving, right? Telekinetic powers. Things falling. A very big thing in poltergeist hauntings is things falling from the ceiling that are not there, right? Like we talked about the water story where water was dripping from up on our ceiling, but there was no running pipe, anything.
Right. Sarchi went and looked himself and couldn't find it.
Things to that nature happen in poltergeist activity, and it's derived from young adolescent girls that are going through changes. It's not a particular ghost like the movie insinuated, although that movie Poltergeist, and I've only seen it twice, spawns from a young girl.
Right. But young girl's the main character.
Main character. It's spawning from her. So the story is accurate to that point, but in the actual movie, it's this really big bad ghost that's haunting the house. And it's named Poltergeist. But Poltergeist is not a ghost. It's not the name of a ghost. It's a name of a type of haunting that usually is affiliated with a young adolescent female. Right. So for people out there listening.
Which was, you know, and if we will harken back to, we'll make a lot of references to Supernatural. When they do the Poltergeist episode, I believe it's the mother, right? It's the spirit of the mother who had, it's in their house. It's in their old house, Dean and Sam. And it's the spirit of their mother that's like going through whatever because of the traumatic death that she had gone through. The residualness of her spirit is there causing poltergeist-like activities until they can exercise. It's not even like the spirit. It's just an echo. But it's such a traumatic experience, you know, and it's such a huge change. Obviously, I mean, death is a huge change, but it's such the traumatic way that she goes that clings on, that piece of a spirit clinged on and acted in that kind of a manner until, you know, I forget the exact specifics. I know that's a Missouri Moses episode, but it does happen where like they have to kind of help Mary, which is the mom, and that particular version of Mary kind of let go. So it's interesting that's, you know, again, that I think that's season one, and that's when they were really all up on the folklore. So
yeah, they were up on the folklore for at least six seasons, and then it got into the biblical thing and
the angels.
It got a little carried away, and it lasted a long time. There was a time where Supernatural lost me.
I just want you to know that it was originally planned for five seasons, and it went another 10.
There's a rumor rumbling that they're trying to revive it maybe for like an episode or two, or like what they did with the X-Files.
Oh, like a six episode
season. I actually enjoyed that X-Files.
I'll be okay with that.
Quick reboot where, you know, Scully and Mulder.
You're telling me you're putting on like HBO Max for like six episodes?
I'm down for that. If they do it right.
Yeah.
If they do it right.
Well, I mean, it's going to be funny because Dean's always been son of a bitch, right? Now he's going to be on Max, which is a lot more freedom to do a lot more things.
Son of a bitch, Sammy. Get the salt. There's another demon.
That's right.
Anyways,
sorry.
Before we end, go to candy on Halloween.
You go first. I need to think about this.
Reese's peanut butter cups, hands down.
Reese's peanut butter cups. The Reese's. I feel like holiday Reese's always have more peanut
butter.
And
I'll do this just for shits and giggles. Reese's peanut butter cup, number uno. Number two, I'd have to go Milky Way bar.
All right, so I'm going to go with a peanut butter candy. It's not going to be Reese's because I really was not a huge, huge fan of Reese's unless I had the actual peanut butter cups, and I was not a fan of the holiday ones, although I do think they have more peanut butter in them. I'm going to say the peanut butter M&Ms are a fantastic candy, especially if you get the full bag.
Reese's Pieces.
No, not Reese's Pieces. Peanut butter M&Ms. They have peanut butter M&Ms.
Do they really?
Yeah, it's not peanut M&Ms, peanut butter M&Ms.
Wow.
Yeah. Really good. They're recent. They're recent candy, probably in the last decade. And then I guess it used to be Sour Starburst. They don't really make Sour Starburst anymore. So if my second candy would have to be either – actually, no, I'll take that back. Sour Patch Kids, because Sour Patch Kids is like my favorite candy. Mm-hmm. But I like those for the movies more than anything else. But if I would get them, my kids would never eat them. So that would be like, okay, here's your pile. And all the Sour Patch Kids went right in Daddy's pile.
Rapid fire here. Least favorite candy to eat on Halloween?
Oh, dude, that's got to be candy corn. If it's not candy corn, then it's like you said, a Whopper. A little pack of those Whoppers. Those are terrible.
So I won't even have to say it because I already said it. Whoppers is...
Ooh, Milk Duds. Milk Duds are no good
either. Another candy that had me for a while, and I don't know, Sugar Daddy.
I like Sugar Daddies.
It had me for a little bit. I was like, this is good.
It's just caramel. You can't have too many of them.
I was...
You ever have a cowtail?
No.
You had a kale tail? So it's like you know those caramel candies that have the white center?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an elongated version of that. Those are good too.
Nah.
I love those.
Solid pass on that, buddy.
Well.
So
now I know what I'm gonna treat myself to.
So next week you're going to a very scary event.
Yeah, well, if you're a fan of this team, any game of theirs is a very scary. Because
yesterday was dreadful. But Nick won't be with us next week. It'll be just me. At this point, I think it's just me. I have to check in with Joey. But it might be just me for a long time. The last episode I did by myself.
Oh, my God.
Was the Nephilim and the Mothership. That was the last episode I did by myself. So
that was before the Aliens ones, right?
Yes.
You had me and your Joey.
Yeah, so legitimately, next week I have to check in with Joey. I think his show is the 4th or the 7th. Is this weekend?
I think it's this weekend. I think it's the 4th.
Okay. So, you know what? Let's just check that with Joey. Joey sent out the text to
me. Hey, well, you know what you can do? If you can't get Joey or me, you can get the other Joey or Mike. Maybe they'll come on.
This is true. So, his
we've got plenty of guests.
November 4th. So, I'm going to check in with Joey tonight and say, hey, are you good for this day? And if he says no, there'll be an episode like the good old throwback of just me talking. Which will be weird because I'm so used to talking with someone now. Or I'll get a special guest for the episode.
Yeah.
And I don't even know the topic for. I have the topics lined up. I just don't know what order I'm going to put them in.
I mean,
look, on the 20th is going to be a good episode. It's going to be something slightly.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's going to be slightly out of our element. Not saying it's a horror story. It's just not what you guys expect from.
We're going to serve you up something really good with that one.
Yeah, it's going to be something interesting. I hope you're doing your work on that.
Yeah.
It's a monologue you're going to do.
Oh, God. That was not fun. For those who are listening, last week's monologue, Billy put me on the spot for that one. It was a little nerve-wracking. I can get on here and I can talk all day.
Zero energy last week.
But that might have been the most nerve-wracking thing you've had me do on this podcast.
You did a good job, Nick. You did a good job. And everybody out there listening, I'd like to thank you for chiming in on the Eve, Halloween's Eve,
trademark.
Of the Say What Again Billy podcast, made possible by Spotify for podcasters. If you have an idea for a podcast and you do not know how to get it out there, Spotify for podcasters is the free app that allows you to get your podcast idea out there free of charge with all the tools, trick or treats within the app for you to get it out there, all entirely for free, and you can make money doing it. So if you want to know how to get a podcast out there, download Spotify for podcasters. No tricks, no treats. Straightforward. Spotify for podcasters. Nick, thanks for chiming in with me today on the eve of Halloween.
Anytime. Halloween Eve, trademark, is what I'm here for, but anytime, Billy.
Everyone, tomorrow, be safe. Get lots of tricks and treats. Enjoy the night before Halloween and tomorrow with your friends and family. And until next time, this has been another episode and the conclusion of spooky season for the Say What Again Billy podcast.